Well, amid all the conversation about Iran's nuclear program, we wanted to take a broader look at nuclear weapons all around the world. The U.S., of course, is the only country that's ever used nuclear weapons in war. But in 2009, speaking in Prague, President Obama envisioned a different future.
I state clearly and with conviction America's commitment to seek the peace and security of a world without nuclear weapons.
A world without nuclear weapons. Jim Walsh is Here and Now security analyst. He's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And let's say at the outset here, the countries we know that have nuclear weapons are the U.S., Russia, the U.K., France, India, Pakistan, North Korea, China, and Israel. Are there any others?
Well, South Africa once had nuclear weapons and gave them up. In fact, if you step back and look at the broader pattern of nuclear history, it's really a shocker, one that most people don't know. The rate of proliferation, the pace at which new countries have joined the nuclear weapons club, has declined. It peaked in the 1960s when China, France, and Israel joined, and in every ensuing decade, fewer and fewer countries have joined. More countries have given up nuclear weapons beginning in the 1990s than have acquired them.
Well, what about the U.S.? Because that's President Obama was the one who said he wanted a world without nuclear weapons. We look at the U.S., it's got about, 1,700 nuclear warheads deployed, another 3,000 or so estimated in its arsenal. How is the U.S. doing on trying to reduce the number of nuclear weapons in the world and in the U.S. for that matter?
Well, it should be said right at the top that this is not only an Obama aspiration. It is international law. The Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, this thing we always talk about when we talk about Iran, not only prohibits countries from acquiring nuclear weapons, it obliges those who have them to give them up. And so how are we doing? Well, I would say Obama's done pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good. The New START Treaty took the strategic warheads, the really big intercontinental ballistic missile types, down to about 1,500. They would have gone further, cut them by another third to 1,000, but Russia didn't want to play ball. So that's a big accomplishment. On the downside, we continue to pour money into the triad, continue to pour money into modernization for weapons that will probably never be used.
Well, and does it matter if you bring it down from 5,000 to 3,000, let's say, if each country still has enough to obliterate the other if they want to?
I think it does matter, and it matters because the only way we can make progress is if there's international cooperation on this. In fact, the parties to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty are going to be gathering this year, and they're sort of angry at the weapon states that they haven't made more progress. They say, you keep asking us to do stuff, you don't do anything yourself. So unless there is some progress, even if it's not all the way to zero instantly, it helps build the political consensus that allows us to build a better and stronger regime.
Now, President Putin in Russia said he considered putting Russia on nuclear alert over the conflict in Ukraine. Is there a real threat that Russia would ever decide to use a nuclear weapon in any case?
You know, it's really hard to imagine that happening. But let's be clear. You know, I just mentioned this meeting that's going to be happening up. We're moving forwards in the United States. Russia is moving backwards. It's waving its nuclear weapons around. It's threatening them, using them, flying planes and subs and all the rest. I think that really undermines that political consensus I just mentioned that we need if we want to continue to have a system that prevents the spread of nuclear weapons.
What about China? It only has about 250 nuclear warheads, but its defense budget is increasing every year, and nuclear expansion is one of the reasons.
Well, I think it's one to watch. You know, traditionally, they've had a small arsenal. They adopted what was called a minimum deterrent. While the U.S. and the Soviets were building tens of thousands of nuclear weapons, they kept a lid on their arsenal, and they adopted a policy of no first use against something neither the superpowers did. Hmm. Now, that might have been because they were poor and weak, and now as they're getting stronger and richer, that could change. I think we're going to keep an eye on that, but that's yet to be determined.
Now, as you look at the other countries with nuclear weapons, you have the rivals India and Pakistan, but you've also got, of course, North Korea. What is the most concerning country with nuclear weapons to you at this point?
Well, I would say India, Pakistan, only because they're rivals that have fought three wars. They share a border. There are terrorists all over the place. Terrorists from Pakistan almost tripped a war earlier in which could have conceivably gone nuclear. It didn't, but you don't want that to be happening. Obviously, North Korea is a wild card, very hard to guess there. But I think most of my colleagues worry about India, Pakistan.
The one we haven't talked about, of course, is Israel, which is very worried, more worried perhaps than any other country about Iran getting a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, Israel's had nuclear weapons since 1966. Again, in some ways, this sort of victory that no one anticipated, despite getting nuclear weapons early, you know, in the 60s, we've had no other states in the Middle East acquire nuclear weapons, which is great. There is this process called a weapons of mass destruction free zone in the Middle East. That's a little engine that might address that issue in the future.
Jim Walsh, here now, security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT, talking with us about nuclear weapons all around the world. We'll link you to a chart about this at our website, hereandnow.org. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.